Father, we're thankful tonight that we can look unto you. And Lord, we surely know that you're the author. And Lord, you're the finisher of our faith. And oh God, we stand challenged, Lord, in this last day. Oh God, knowing the times, Lord, knowing the teaching of the end of the age. And Lord, the awful calamities to come. Oh God, how it should cause us all, Lord, to be just devout and serious in our hearts. And may we all be touched in our hearts, Lord, that we want to be close to you. We ourselves want to be ready. And Lord, we want to help others find, oh God, the way to the kingdom. So Lord, we pray and ask your blessing on the word in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Everybody said? Amen. Amen. So we're reading in Luke 17 and verse 20. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said. Now I want you to hear the remainder of this verse so that you get the thought of what he's saying. So read that 20th verse again, now all of it. And when he demanded of the Pharisees, or when he was demanded of the Pharisees, when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here, or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Now, there was a lot of preaching in the ministry of Jesus, the ministry of John the Baptist, even in the ministry of the apostles. Preaching the coming of the kingdom of God. Ever speaking of the kingdom of God being near. So we could go back to John the Baptist, and he was preaching the kingdom of God is at hand. Well, here it's talking now in the realm of the kingdom of God. And here it's talking about it in a real spiritual aspect now. The kingdom of God comes not with observation. The kingdom of God is not coming in that manner. Neither shall they say, lo here or lo there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Now you can give a lot of thought to that verse, because it does speak of the kingdom of God. But then, if you look at the scripture, at some of the things which it speaks to us, when we first come to know Jesus, what was we interested in? We were interested in being born again, weren't we? Born again. Jesus spoke, verily, verily, I say to you, except a man be born of the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verily, verily, I say to you, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So we look back then to a relationship. If we are born again, then we were born again into the kingdom of God. We were brought into the kingdom of God and in that manner. So here he's talking about now the Pharisees here are demanding of him to tell them when the kingdom of God would really come. But his answer to them might have left them blank, because their only expectation would be that a kingdom of God would come with observation. You would see it. But then, to a people who've rejected the king, how would they expect then a kingdom to come unto them? You know, with observation, that they would see it. But yet, we know this, it will come with observation. In a time, at the end of the age, we know that Jesus will come back and set up a kingdom upon the earth. And this kingdom, he'll rule over for 1,000 years. So we know the kingdom will come, and there it will be with observation, because the king himself would be here. So we want to thank God in our hearts that this scripture speaks a great message to our hearts, that we have the kingdom of God within us. The actual kingdom of God is within us. Listen, our new birth, we were born again. We were brought to life. We were brought into this kingdom of God. And we should think somewhat about the kingdom of God too, because it's not only a reality to come, It's a reality of the day. We certainly want to be a part of the kingdom of God, then, don't we? So when you talk about the kingdom of God, we can think of what God is going to do upon the earth in establishing the kingdom. And we can think about the kingdom of heaven. We can think of, you know, farther than you can look or think this way or that way or the other way. Hey, the kingdom of God really covers everything, everywhere. It's his whole domain. And God's domain, it just stretches from what? From eternity to eternity? It just stretches forth. This is all his domain. So we're somewhere in the midst of his domain. But here and now, we can be assured in our hearts that we have such an experience. Now, I don't think that these ungodly Pharisees would have been thought of here as far as they are concerned, or that we should think that somehow the kingdom of God was in them and what they were doing and what they had done. So we have to think about them in that light. But to those who believe, surely we have then a great blessing given to us that even now we're experiencing the things of the kingdom of God. We've been born again. So you're born of... If you're not born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. And if you're not born of the water and the Spirit, you could not enter the kingdom of God. So we have a relationship, and this relationship will come full bloom one day. And one day when the Lord comes and when he returns, boy, he's going to clean up this earth. This earth is going to get cleaned up. It's going to come with a fire judgment. There's a lot of things that are going to burn. They're just absolutely going to burn. It's going to be a time of fire judgment when the Lord comes. You know that kind of judgment? It's just like a fire cleansing of the filthiness of this world. This world is surely going to be renewed. And the kingdom of God, once established here in the earth, is going to grow into the greatest kingdom that we might know, you know, as far as concerned. And this great kingdom of God, it's like the zenith of the whole ages, all come together. And in God's kingdom, there'll be peace, there'll be joy, there'll be happiness. God's command, they're going to beat their swords into pruning hooks. I mean, they're going to put down their weapons, and they're not going to learn war anymore. And one of the great blessings of the kingdom as it is established is God is going to take Satan and put him right where he belongs. Put him down, way down deep in the pit, and chain him up and keep him there for a full 1,000 years. So what an added blessing. Wouldn't it be nice tonight if we could think in our hearts and somehow we could accept that out there there's no devils. We can't even consider accepting such a thing, can we? We think of the enemy. We think of the enemy of our soul. We can't help but see. We can see his evil works and his destruction. We can see it. You know, it's everywhere. And so we can't think in our mind to say, like it's kingdom joy and peace that will really come in that day. But that whole 1,000 years, there's many things the scripture teaches about it that we would wonder. It talks about all of the wild beasts. They'll be as tame as a kitten. They'll be as tame as a kitten. The lion will eat grass out in the field like the cows. Got to be a great change to bring about such things. But then the whole kingdom age is the whole time of the kingdom here. And when we think of the animals that are in the world today, and so many are so vicious. Hey, they're living off of one another. They kill one another. You just have to stop and say, well, why are they that way? Why are they wild? Did God make them that way? Were they made to be wild beasts? That was not the purpose of God making and creating those things, that they would be like that. But they're that way because of the fall. The fall of man affected all form of life upon the earth. it just affected it. And we have to realize it affected the animal kingdom. They were not the same. So everything that has changed, but looking toward the kingdom, we realize then it's going to be a great kingdom that Jesus is going to raise up, and he's going to sit on his throne and reign over this kingdom himself. So we know the earth will be so blessed to have the Lord back on the earth. To have the Lord back on the earth again. Wouldn't that be nice to think? Wouldn't you go to bed tonight thinking, well, if you could think the Lord is, hey, he's right there in the temple over there, you know? Or we think, you know, he's in his place. You know, he's in his abode. Well, the people over in Israel now that are looking, they're looking for the Lord to come. And it seems to be deciphered by many to believe that when he comes, he's going to enter in through the eastern gate into the city. Well, between the wrangling and jangling, you know, of people, they closed that gate. You know what I mean? It's not a gate anymore. It's like where there was a gate, and it's all cemented up now. You can see the form of it. Then they put some kind of stuff growing underneath where to get to that gate and to think that anybody was going to use it, they almost would render it impossible, you know. Well, it's just the thought of what people have that don't believe and would like to block the coming of Jesus if they could, as though you could stop him, as though you could keep him from getting in somewhere. Now, we are thinking then toward the kingdom, but, you know, before the kingdom age comes, there's a whole story from the end of the church age to the end of the tribulation period. What a time of troubles to come upon the earth. What a time of trouble. And that trouble only vexes and gets worse and worse and worse until finally it just utterly climaxes in one of what we'd say, what's the world's greatest war, the mother of all wars, the Battle of Armageddon. The time of the end is certainly going to be plagued with a lot of trouble. But out of it all and through it all will certainly rise, you know, the building of the kingdom of God. Now, I wanted to emphasize this verse of scripture to us there to say then that we would think in our mind, we're not looking to say, here's the kingdom or there's the kingdom. But we can look to say, we know where the kingdom is, for the kingdom of God is within you. So now we got to bear that in our mind as a relationship. So of God's presence and God being with us. And he said unto his disciples, the days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. Reminding the disciples of the days to come, meaning after he has gone back to heaven. So after his departure, and then having this long relationship with the Lord where they learned to love the Lord and found such a deep spiritual relationship with him, and then the day coming when having had that and experienced that and known that and known him, and, you know, have had that sweet fellowship with him, then suddenly they're not in that realm anymore. They're looking and they're wondering, and, oh, if we could only have one of those days, if we could only have one of those great meetings, if we could only see him once again heal the whole multitude of people, if we could only see him once more doing those great things that we saw him do. You see, the disciples now, he's telling them the day will come when you long to look back to having one of these days again. Well, we all long sometimes to have another day or another service like one we remember or that we've had before. And a lot of things we would want to see come again, but they don't come, you know. Days, they don't just return like that. So now, the disciples, having been taught of Jesus, they were going to long for one of these days. And they're clearly warned, but you'll not see it. So now he's clearing the path for them. Don't let any of these false prophets, are false teachers who will try to convince you that he's here or he's there, he's out in a desert place or something else. They're well taught not to go after him. Don't pay any mind because he won't be there. He won't be there, and therefore they know off right up front, then they needn't worry. That's not something that's going to happen. They won't get to see one of those days again. There's a lot of things we'd like to see again. A lot of things we'd like to see again, but there's some things we're not going to see again. And here it is with them. So he's talking with them, and they shall say unto you, see here or see there, go not after them, nor follow them. So in clearing their minds, then that surely that would be the thing they would see, is there are people going to cry out, he's here, he's there. But don't you believe it. But don't you believe it. We'll see the king when he comes, and when he comes for us. You know, there's a lot of little controversies about the coming of the Lord and what people expect and what people, you know, in their own mind or their way of teaching, what they think and the way they think things will be. There's a lot of excitement in people about the rapture, how it's going to take place and all. There's imaginations that stretch, you know, coast to coast, you know, of all these things that they expect might happen when that comes. It'll be like expecting, you know, Y2K is coming, you know what I mean? Boy, didn't they get really into that thing? Did you get into that? Did you begin to think, boy, there's something really bad going to happen? But, you know, we were right here in church on New Year's Eve. What happened? With observation, nothing happened. The lights didn't go out. We didn't hear the sirens out there under the fires. Did your computer start? Is your computer still running? Oh, they made more stories over that. You know, it's like one of these things they like to get a hold of, and news people, they like to fan it up and make a big fire out of it. You know what I mean? Anything to sell newspapers or magazines. But the stories, you know, that are unfold to some degree that are so overdone, then we realize that this thing of Jesus coming is going to be kind of maybe overdone somewhat, with people saying he's here or saying he's there, being misled to believe that. But we know how he's coming. He told us, for as the lightning that shineth out of the one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall the Son of Man be in his day. Now that's how he's going to come. As the lightning shineth out of one part of heaven to the other. Now we've all seen plenty of lightning storms, haven't we? It's amazing, you know, all the power of all that electricity that's certainly, you know, caught in the air there. And boy, when it lets go. So you can see a streak of lightning and you can see it go from one side, you know, of your eyesight to go over and out of your sight, and it can do it so quickly. Well, we see that. But knowing now the coming of the Lord, when he's coming and wants us to know about his coming, he's going to come quickly. And then we could stop to think and look, is he only going to come once, or is he going to come twice? Is he going to come for the church? That's particularly defined, isn't it? You know, when you read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and look down through the chapter, you can't help but see his coming is so spoken of. And we always look at that and we define that as to say that's a rapture. That's the Lord, because it definitely talks about him coming from heaven, and it talks about us being brought up. It talks about the dead being raised, and it talks about us being caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Well, it talks about that in very plain, clear terms, the coming of the Lord. Yet there's the coming of the Lord wherein he does come back and does come down and set his feet upon the earth and does bring forth and brings forth the judgments that he has spoken in his word he would. And then, finally the building of the kingdom, the establishment of the kingdom of God, all of those things. But to discern the difference, you always discern his literal second coming back to earth. He's coming with his holy angels in power and great glory. So you'll recognize that his coming for the church was not with the angels with great power and great glory. That wasn't the time. The time will be when the church is taken up, when the Lord will come for that special purpose. That's going to be a great event. That's the event of events, you know. So we want to be in this place where we understand he will come down to earth again. But there's a time when he'll come back to the earth, when he will settle down upon the earth. And surely he's going to come and bring the judgments. He's going to come and bring the tribulation. He's going to come and bring all of these things. And Jesus will muster all of those things. And with angelic help, certainly those great, powerful angels of God will carry out his judgments in the tribulation. But we're thinking about him coming as lightning now, like this light then that shineth out from one part under heaven unto the other part under heaven. So shall also the Son of Man be in his day. Now, little things that you may not know, you may not think, they may not mean anything to you, but looking at the text we're looking at here, just looking from verse 22 down through verse 24, and you see it talks about the days of the Son of Man. Now, there's the days of the Son of Man. These days are definitely spoken of as the days, and they were warned, not to get caught up and taken up with what people were saying about the kingdom and where it was. He talked about the kingdom being in us. But note down at verse 24, down at the end of this verse, for as the lightning that shineth, that lighteth out of one part under heaven, shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall the Son of Man be in his day. That word day. Now that word day is as particular as you can imagine. This is not any day. This is not like one of the days the disciples were referred to, where they, were out there broiling fish for breakfast on a rock or something, and all those things. But rather, it talks about the day and talks about the day of Christ. Now, it's singular, not days, but a day. In the Lord, there's this event. It's called, to us, the day of Christ. And the day of Christ is that particular day. It's the day when everybody better be ready. It's the day where all the warnings surround to the people on the earth, you better be ready. When the Lord comes, he's going to come on that day. He's going to come at that time. He said, you don't know the day. You don't know the hour of his coming. You don't know the day. You don't know the hour. But he warned us, you got to be ready. So here we are. We're living in this world with a warning. Be ready. He is very solemn in his word to tell you to be ready for his coming. I'm coming in an hour that you think not. Now, how could you teach the people in the church of America or the world to tell them the Lord is coming, but he didn't say when? Will it be this year? He didn't say when. Will it be next year? He didn't say when. Well, when will it be? He didn't say when it would be. What did he say then? He said, be ye ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Now, think of that position right now. Think of, we're in that position. We don't know the day. We don't know the hour, but we do know this. We must be ready on that day to meet the Lord. If we're not ready, you see, the warning is to be ready. He's coming. And when he comes, he's coming for those that are ready. And those that are saved, those that are His, those filled with His Spirit, those who are in the body of Christ, those who belong to Him, those who are His, who love Him and walk with Him from day to day, and in our relationship with the Lord, we must maintain our spiritual relationship. Now, I don't see where there's anything about being ready in being a backslider and gone away from church and forgetting about the things of God and going back to the world, huh? Hey, are those souls in that condition? Are they ready? They're not ready. What if the Lord comes? What about anybody? What about anybody who's not ready? The Lord said, be ready. He warned us this was the condition. Be ready. So you got to bear in your mind, and that's really much, maybe much bigger than you think. You don't know the day, you don't know the hour, but you must be ready on that day and that hour. At the last trumpet. At the last trumpet, we better be ready. We be ready. You know the Lord is coming, and there's a last trumpet for the church. He's going to be coming. And when He comes, He's going to come with the sound of a trumpet. He's certainly going to come with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. And boy, you talk about activity, and you talk about things happening. My, the dead will come from the graves from all around the world. He'll wind us up quickly like a flash. He'll go around the earth, and He'll bring forth out of the grave. My, He's going to quicken. He's going to bring forth new spiritual bodies, and He's going to take us. Then, and He's going to lift us up, and surely we're going to be caught up in, you know, in the air to meet the Lord, and we're promised we'll ever be with the Lord. Well, this is the thing we're waiting for, but we got to be ready. Now, a lot of folks don't consider how important it is to be ready. We're going to miss these terrible things that come up on the earth if we're ready. So if you knew the day and if you knew the hour, you'd be ready. He gave us this example. He said, you know, concerning the thief. The thief. The thief likes to come in the night. You know what I mean? He likes to come in the night. He likes to come at a time when you're not looking for him. And then you're out, and you're out for the night, and you go home, and the door's busted, and someone has stolen your goods. You say, well, that's what he meant about being ready. Like the thief who comes in the night. You don't know he's coming. But what you do generally know is he's been here. You generally know he's been here. You know what I mean? It's no real pleasure to know he's been here. And you look and say, this is gone. The microwave's gone. Hey, this is gone. The stereo's gone. Oh, my computer's gone. Hey, everything they could bundle up, they ran off with. And you say, well, my, we didn't even know it. The thief comes in the night, doesn't he? The Lord spoke of coming as a thief in the night. Not that he's a thief. I mean, coming even at his coming, you know, back to earth again. I mean, back down onto the earth again. We realize that surely when that day comes, he'll come quickly. He'll come suddenly. And the world won't know what to do when he manifests his judgments. Now, do you understand then tonight how important it is to be ready? That's the whole thing for you. Are you fulfilling God's word? He said in Luke chapter 21 how we ought to be ready in this realm. We ought to pray always that we would be counted worthy to escape all of those things that are coming upon the earth and to stand before the presence of the Son of God. We have to be in that realm. So pray always. When was the last time you prayed that you'd be ready? Hey, warned about people's hearts being overcharged with surfeiting. What's surfeiting? Is that skateboarding? Is it skateboarding on the water? What is surfeiting? Surfeiting. Party making. I mean, things of the world. Banquetings. All of these many, many things. Eating and drinking and having a merry old time. And all of these things are going to catch many unaware in that day. You're not thinking about it. You're not concerned about it. Everything is going on. Hey, tomorrow will be as today. Let's eat. Let's drink. Let's be merry. And no thought. He said, you better pray that you would be counted worthy. Being worthy is one thing. Well, being counted worthy. Some people aren't going to be counted worthy to escape all those things. the world will not be counted worthy to escape. And we always want to bear in our mind, there are those people that should know better, and there are those people who should be ready. And it's a shame the way so many want to live and ignore the things of God. Our generation, we could look out at our churches and we could wonder, and we could say, how many will really be caught up to meet the Lord? So many are caught up into so many things in this last day. And you can wonder about. And there's this, always this thing that we see so much of. It's flying into the face of God's Word, knowing what it said, but full well don't want to do it and throw the Scriptures aside or cast them over their back and refuse to do it. How are they going to be ready? They're not ready now. When will they get ready? They more likely won't get ready. So what will it take? I suppose a lot of folks are going to really be shaken. You can't imagine the shaking and the trembling will be in the world when the Lord does come and take His church away. Boy, that would leave a big hole where the church was taken away, wouldn't it? And all the people that were His. Yet we're warned. Straight is a gate and narrow is a way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. We're warned in so many ways, but take the warning tonight to heart. We must be ready. He warns us again and again. So there's the thing of being counted worthy. Counted worthy then. We should watch about eating and drinking and getting carried away and drunk and, you know, the way of the world. Now, eating is not wrong, and drinking is not wrong. Eating and drinking, I mean, you drink water, we drink a lot of things. Some folks are a little more choosy about what they drink, you know what I mean? It's got to be 100 proof or they don't want it. You know what I mean? Hey, we're not into that, are we? We're not into that stuff. Hey, that can take your mind. That can bring you bondage. And look at how many people are in bondage to it. Surely that's not what we want. But I'm wanting to be in this place where, we can do our best to teach people to be ready. We could witness to people to be ready. Are you ready? That's a great question. What if you're not? And the Lord comes. There's another question you should ask is, when the Lord comes, when the day of Christ comes, what next? The saint's going to be in heaven for a period. What's next? The great tribulation is next. In all of my heart, I believe this. I believe there's the dividing line, you know, that's between the dispensations. There's the church age, and the church age is clearly marked. In Isaiah 61, it teaches us how Jesus marked it out for us. And we could realize now that the day is spoken of as, you know, it's the acceptable year of the Lord. The time period wherein we could go back to the beginning of the church age to the present age. We're in the church age. And this time is going to come to an end. There was the great dispensation of the law, but it came to an end. The church came. Now, we realize, and you look in your Bible, you can see when you came out of the Old Testament into the New Testament. When you see the transition, people from law to grace. Well, we want to think about the same thing, you know. The dispensation, when the church age ends. So you started on this side. Now, when you get over to the other side, it ends here. And here, from that mark onward, you would be in 7 years of the Great Tribulation. Now, in my mind, the most ideal place for God to be looking to take us home would be right here. The church age ends, and it's time when the judgment from the Great Tribulation begins. Right on the same line. The church age ends. Now the church age will come to an end. It'll come to a close. It'll be fulfilled. Now can you expect that? So the Lord coming for his own, taking us out of the world, yes, taking us away from the things to come. So we got to look to say we don't know the day, we don't know the hour, we don't know when he's coming, and he didn't say it's right here or it's right there. But he taught us this, we could know the signs, we can know the signs of the times, we can know that we're in the end of the age, we can know a lot of things or about a lot of things, but you don't know when he's coming, and nowhere is the Bible going to tell you. But then, even if you agree with me that the most likely place for this to be is right at the end of the church age, when the church would be caught up and taken home, in the most likely place. Now, that precedes then the Great Tribulation. If we take it now looking from that point, then you can see you better be ready, but what if you're not? You better be ready, but what if you're not? He's going to come, and he's going to go. And if you're not ready, where are you going to stand? What comes after the church age? The Great Tribulation. Where would you be if you were now in the world and you're suddenly taken out? We would be on our way to heaven. We would be caught up with the Lord. We would be changed in a moment. But those that are left behind because they're not ready, you got to stop to think about that. Plummeting into the tribulation period. Boy, they're going to get straightened out now, or martyred, one or the other, something else. It's not going to be a picnic to be left behind. The Bible does speak of a multitude that's brought up out of the Great Tribulation. There are people, and more than one time, there will be people brought up out of the tribulation period. But we need to understand. Look at what many went through. And if you read the story about the church, now of Laodicea, they got counsel from God. The Lord came and he couldn't even get in. They wouldn't even let him in the door. He couldn't get into his own church at Laodicea. But he sure warned them. He taught them very clearly what he said. He brought it right out to them. They were lukewarm. They were neither hot nor cold. They were lukewarm. And because they were lukewarm, he would spew them out of his mouth. Let them go. He said, you say you're rich and you have need of nothing, but you don't know, and listen to these words, you don't know that you're poor, miserable, wretched, naked. Naked and blind. Now those two words, naked and blind. If I took all my clothes off, I would be what? Naked. Naked. Now, we have clothes that we wear that we can take off and wash, but then we have something that's spiritual. It's a covering. And the covering he really talks about is the covering for sin. The covering for sin. So Adam and Eve had coats of skin, but you and I have the blood of Christ. We have this relationship with Jesus where his blood is our covering. And so we want to be covered. So we want to be in that realm. But I want you to think tonight about that Laodicean church being poor, miserable, wretched, naked, and blind. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. That's the counsel of God to the Laodicean church. Buy of me gold tried in the fire. What do you think that might be? Here's the apostate church of the end of the age. And that church at Laodicea is a type surely to us of the apostate church at the end of the age. Now here's this apostate church, and now, you know, in the coming of the Lord, they're not ready. They're just not ready. They haven't put their mind, but when they get cast out, you know, and they're out there in that tribulation period, and in an awful time, now you can see where they are. They weren't ready. They didn't want to be ready. They were poor, miserable, wretched, naked, and blind. He describes well apostasy and a spiritual condition that people can get into and they just never seem to get out of. So typical of many of the last day churches. Typical of the falling away of the last day and of the last day churches. So tonight we all want to be in this realm. And the real part of that message, you know, the kingdom of God is within you. That's the first thing that's necessary for us. We can't enter the kingdom of God except we be born of the water and of the Spirit. So we were able now to, in our relationship, enter into the kingdom of God. We're in the kingdom. We're in the kingdom, and here as he's describing it in this day to the Pharisees, well, those words can kind of be fulfilled in the relationship we have with him. And as I mentioned previously, they weren't very much to be thought of as having part of the kingdom of God for the wicked things they were doing. And remember the rejection of Jesus. Hey, they didn't make it. Boy, they were in trouble. That generation was in serious trouble. Rejecting Jesus was no light matter. I'll tell you, the day Jesus rose from the dead, boy, there was some great things. There was some great things. We got to know, we got to understand, we got to look sometimes at the scripture. But the terrible time that's certainly going to come and come upon the earth. Church, I want to tell you again tonight, we've got to consider with all of our hearts, we've got to be ready. We don't know when he's coming, but we do know this. We must be ready. We must be ready. That's a pretty straight warning. You know what I mean? For someone to tell you, hey, I want you to go with me, but they don't tell you when, and you don't even know what to wear to get ready. You don't know what to do because they're so uncertain. The Lord is not trying to be uncertain. The time, it's perfectly timed of God somehow. So no one knows the day or the hour, not even the angels of God know. No one knows. God has kept a secret. He's kept a secret. He's not going to tell it. But surely one day Jesus will break through and come. Won't we be glad then, huh? And I'll tell you, if you are caught up in the rapture, if you are caught up unto Jesus, what a seal you'll have on your life. What will that prove? It will prove you passed the greatest test you ever had of being ready when the Master comes. It's a test to us. Those that are not ready are going to be tested. And the test is this. Those that are ready will go. Those that are ready will be caught up. Those that are ready. And those that are not will surely be left behind. They are not going up. They're not ready and they're not going. So the test is there. And we want to be in that realm where we're not left standing amazed and wondering why everybody is gone and I'm still here. That would be an awful feeling, wouldn't it? That would be a terrible feeling. I wouldn't want that to happen to me. My heart and my mind is on meeting Jesus one way or the other. You know, we'll either meet him at the rapturing, the coming of the Lord, or we'll just meet him when we slide out of this old body. But no matter what, I want to meet him, don't you? Do you really want to meet him? That's what he's talking about, being ready. So a lot of things said. But first, before these things, other things he speaks of here, but first, must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation? Now those were the things which was spoken about Jesus. And that he would very well now suffer many things. He did suffer, didn't he? He went to Calvary. He, you know, went to the cross. Hey, he went to the grave. There we realize he suffered many things. Suffered many things and be rejected of this generation. So that generation rejecting him. Now we know that happened, didn't it? We know that happened. So that generation rejected him. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat and they drank and they married wives and were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. See what happened to them? They made no bones to get ready. They had a warning. God gave a warning. Hey, there was the ark. There was only just those eight souls that got on the ark. So we understand there's Noah and his family. You know, they're the ones that got on. And the rest, they all perished in the flood. You know, and the flood came and took them all away. And it just talks of the flood came and they knew not until it took them all away. They weren't looking. They weren't watching. They didn't seem to understand that Noah was truly out there building an ark. And that ark was to the saving surely of his family. Well, let's bear in our minds that those days and those warnings that are given like this, they all speak to us. So what were they doing? They were eating and drinking, and they married wives. And what's the next part? They were given in marriage. They were given into. Hey, they got into women. You know what I mean? They got into it. They got into crossing up with the daughters of the children of men, not the daughters of the sons of God. So the sons of God went over to marry with the seed of Cain, and it brought calamity on the earth. And there was all of those things, and it started with that. And many other things which you can read in the scripture. So they ate and drank and married and were given in marriage till the day Noah entered to the ark. And the flood came and took them all away.
We apologize, but the original audio recording was interrupted at this point for just a few seconds.
They built it. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. You see, they got caught. They weren't in any place. You know what I mean? They were caught in that day. And there was Lot. And what was there? Lot and his family. Abraham really seeking God. Knowing Abraham knew this was going to happen. He knew the judgments would come. And he pled with God that he wouldn't let the righteous perish with the wicked. And he was thinking of Lot, and he was thinking of his, you know, his own relatives that were there. But we know that story about Lot. It's like it was in the days of Lot. There's one thing that I would say, why is the scripture speaking like this? They did eat, they drank, they married wives and were given in marriage to the day that Noah entered into the ark. Well, I want to drop down to the other one. Likewise, also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. What's left out? Is there something missing here in this text? What was Sodom really known for? Why was the judgment to somehow fall on Sodom? Hey, you see, it is mentioned. It's mentioned very clearly. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained brimstone and fire from heaven and destroyed them all. You see, it is mentioned. And it's mentioned in this way that this was what happened. Why was those men burned up? For the same reason that many are going to be in the fire judgment and caught in the fire judgment this last day. Because they live like Sodom lived, like Gomorrah lived. So our generation is so plagued. It's a plague. It's a national plague. It's a national disgrace. Homosexuality is so on the loose. Both men and women, so bound. We have to look at that and consider that, you know. Cause God to rain down fire. What's going to bring the fire judgment on in the last days? It'll be like it was in the days of Lot. Fire will fall from heaven. And in that fire judgment, fire will fall from heaven. That's the way it did. It was like raining. Well, I'm glad we can look at His Word and glean some knowledge and understanding. But the one thing is in it all, especially for you and me, is that we're warned about these times, and we're warned to be ready. The Lord will take us up, but we got to be ready. We got to be ready. We got to be ready. Do you understand that? How many of us really know we have to be ready? Why do you have to be ready? He's coming in an hour you think not. He'll come quickly. He'll come suddenly. My, don't think it's going to take God months and months and months to raise the dead. I mean, don't even think it's going to take God minutes. I mean, this will be as easy for God as anything. Can God do anything? What a great thing God will do in the resurrection. So we want to just freshen up our minds. We're glad we're born into the kingdom of God. We're glad we're a part because we're in the body of Christ. We're His. We have a relationship with Him where we're His. He calls us His very own. We have that relationship where we're born of God's Spirit. We have life. The Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is in us. We have life everlasting. We're given this life. But we're also warned. We're also warned. Be ready. Be ready, for in such an hour as you think not, I'm coming. So I like to think on things like that, because as years have gone by, I've watched a lot of people come, and I've watched a lot of people go. And I saw a lot of people that had a great chance to really do something with their life, to get into the Lord and want to. But they were just like the seed that fell, you know, out there, you know, in the stony ground, and the seed laying in that kind of condition, you know, and the It started maybe to sprout up a little, and the sun came out and scorched it, and it just couldn't grow. And it's kind of like that. So many, they're not ready. They heard the word to some degree, but because they couldn't really grasp and understand it, you know what I mean? They didn't take a hold of it. But I want you to think tonight, it's pretty important that we're ready. Are we ready? Are we ready for the coming of the Lord? Hey, don't we have a song like that, don't we? Are you ready? Come on now, take the challenge. You have to answer that for yourself. So when are you going to get dressed for this? We got to be dressed all the time, huh? We got to be dressed all the time. Got to have our spiritual covering always. Our spiritual covering. The blood of Christ that cleanses us from all sin and unrighteousness. It's a covering to us. It's the covering that covers our life. We're not naked like those of Laodicea. How did they get themselves into such a condition? They were in one of those prosperous times when money's flowing like it is today. Boy, a lot of money flying around. A lot of money flying around in these days, right here, right now. Maybe it slowed down just a little bit. Oh, people are surely into it. A lot of people getting rich. Oh, more millionaires, new millionaires. Like millionaires can be made overnight. But it's not going to get them to heaven. And no matter how much they have, it's not going to count, is it? To be taught up, caught up in their covetousness and covetous ways. Church, let's be thankful. Let's be humble. Let's be sweet in our soul. Let's love the Lord. Let's be faithful to Him. Let's serve the Lord with gladness. Let's serve the Lord with all of our hearts. Let's put our whole attention on the Lord. Why don't we get into the Lord much deeper than we are? Should we want to walk on a beach when we could just as well be out there walking on the water? Out there walking with Jesus. Oh, come on. Let's give it our best, right? Give the Lord your best. The best of your life. Give to Him. Give Him to where He has the privilege of using the prime time in your life. I mean, someone would like to just, you know, waste their life away. And then when it gets so bad, they have to take two canes to walk and a walker. And then they want to give it to God. My, they can't even bend a knee anymore. They want to give their life to God. A lot of folks have to get on the deathbed, though, before they begin to really think. Isn't it true? So, what do you think? Are you ready? I believe we all want to think we are. But the Word of God challenges you to be. There's a lot of things that teach us very clearly what God wants us to do. and we need to take a hold of it. So why don't we all stand and we'll pray. Father, we want to thank you and we want to praise you tonight that we could be in the house of God one more time. Lord, we just could look at your word and share, enjoy it, Lord, and talk about it. And, oh, God, take a hold of it. Lord, the word of God, the rich, full word of God, may it find root and find logic in our hearts. And, oh, God, you said, pray that we'd be counted worthy. Lord, I want to be counted worthy. Make me worthy, Lord, for that day. When you come, Lord, I want to be waiting for you. When you come, Lord, I want my heart set on you in that day. That I'll be ready. I'll be caught up to meet you, Lord. Oh, God, help me. Lord, help everyone, Lord, that, oh, God, we'd be counted worthy to escape those things coming upon the earth, that we will stand before the Son of Man. We will stand in that holy place with God. Now, Lord, we're praising and thanking you, and Lord, we're giving you the honor and the glory. God, we want you to bless the word into each of our hearts tonight. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen.